did not mention, should have mentioned, that Nancy woke up this morning to a flat tire beyond kind of repair. That's why she wasn't able to make coffee this morning. And so hoping that AAA can get up there and get her taken care of, because she doesn't really have a lot of other resources. And so might want to pray for her as well in the next moments. So anyway, this week is Thanksgiving. Yes, Thanksgiving this week in just a few short days, which means next Sunday is Advent, dare I say. Yes, 1 week from today is the countdown to Christmas. Absolutely crazy, but nonetheless true. So my question this morning is, have you ever met somebody who just seemed impossible to please? Everybody's laughing like, well, yeah, I know somebody like that. That no matter what, they've just kind of made it up in their mind that they're not going to be happy. There's those people like, you know what, I'm just deciding I'm not going to be happy today. Or perhaps I'm just not going to be happy in my life. It's almost like they woke up and said, you know what, today, no matter what, I'm choosing to not be happy. No matter what you do, and it's just not good enough. So if you spend a few days working in retail just before the holidays, surely you will meet someone like that. Hopefully you're not that person that just chooses not to be happy. But we have them in the store. It seems like no matter how much you bend over backwards to help them, it's just not good enough. Fortunately, that doesn't happen often, but even still. Have you ever found something or seen something that you just thought was amazing, only to have it met with a less than enthusiastic response by an unthankful person in the midst? You're like, man, look at that. And they're like, eh. And they're like, man, just this like crushes your spirit in the moment, right? So as I said, this week is Thanksgiving, and we want to talk then a little bit about Thanksgiving. So as you might guess, or maybe not, our text is going to come from the book of Psalms. And we've already read it together. I'm going to read it again. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. And again, we read it out loud together. We're going to read it again. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I love that vision right there. We are his sheep, the people of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. The sanctuary are his gates. The sanctuary is his courts. We need to enter it with thanksgiving and praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the name of the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. And his faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 100, verse 1 through 5. A lot in there about thanksgiving, a lot in there about how to praise and why to praise in all those sort of things. There's three things that I want to look at, though, regarding thanksgiving. That is the invitation, the motivation, and the celebration of thanksgiving that I think are all present in this text. The first, the invitation of thanksgiving. See, Thanksgiving is that time of year or that day that we set aside to remember to give thanks to God for all that we have. Now, we know that we should be thankful every day. It's an old cliche. But there is just something special about Thanksgiving when we're very intentional about being together, dropping everything else for the purpose of giving thanks for all that we have. Now, Thanksgiving became an official U.S. holiday back in December 26, 1941, in case you were wondering. We're going to go into some history lessons here, some U.S. history. It was when President Roosevelt signed the resolution making it so in, I said, 1941. And it was a day of general thanksgiving. It's what it was meant to be, a day of general thanksgiving to the Almighty God for the bountiful harvest which the U.S. had been blessed. From the beginning, the focus was on giving thanks to God. It was an invitation, if you will, for the nation to give thanks. It's really what Thanksgiving is. It's like a day off and an invitation to give thanks. However, the first invitation to give thanks came long before Thanksgiving. We see in an earlier invitation in the psalm that we just read. The invitation came long to give thanks came long before Thanksgiving. In verse 4 it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. You see, the psalmist, the writer of this psalm, is inviting us into a time of thanksgiving. It's an invitation for us to give thanks. God invites us right into his presence. That's what we do here. God has invited us into his presence on Sunday mornings, corporately, to give praise, to respond to his love and to respond to his grace. God desires to spend time with us. He's present with us here this morning. He's with us. His spirit is with us. I envision angels camped out on each corner of the sanctuary over us this morning. They defeated Satan this morning already.
Amen.
You know that they did.
Praise God.
As they often do. Because why? Because God is with us. And his angels are camped out all around us. So my question is, have you entered his courts this morning with praise? In full disclosure, there was probably a time that I wasn't really praising. Okay? I mean, we're human, right? I'm human. But even in the stressful times, we give praise and we give thanks. Back in the late 80s and early 90s, I guess, there was a band called, I probably won't get this right, Crumbacker Duke. And they had an album titled Worlds Away. On the album, there was a song that that kind of makes me think, and it was called The Last Time. The title of the song is Last Time. And here are some of the lyrics that go like this. And what and was the last time you heard from me, the last time I heard from you? Does my lack of inspiration mean you're blue from silence? Can it really be the last time that you heard from me was the last time that I heard from you? Oh, how long since that last time? That seems kind of, But if you think about it, these lyrics are asking a very thought-provoking question. And I'll ask it this morning. Is the last time that you gave thanks the last time you had to be thankful? Something to be thankful for. Is the last time that you gave thanks the last time you had something to be thankful for? I'll just let you meditate on that for a moment. I fear that sometimes we see God's blessing all the time, but fail to thank him, take time to thank him for each one of them. So we are thankful in the moments when blessings are evident, in other words. When we are thankful when we feel like we've heard from God about something. We've been praying and we feel like God answers prayer, and in that moment we are thankful. But what about the times that we feel like we're not hearing from God? The last time that we are thankful should not be the last time that we feel like we heard from God. And I think that's what the lyrics were getting at. Don't let only the times that you hear from God be the times that you are thankful. Do we only give thanks to God when we see him doing something in our lives or giving us something in our lives? Is the only time that we feel thankful when we really feel that God is up to something and he's moving and motivating and stirring something up, or he's giving us something or providing something? Is that the only time that we give thanks? You don't have to answer that a lot. Anybody heard of Maxwell Cato? Very popular author, great author, speaker. Tells about a time of living as an American in Brazil. So he's an American, he was living in Brazil for a while. One day he was walking along the streets on his way to the university to teach a class, and he felt a tug on his pant leg. Turning around, he saw a little boy, about 5 or 6 years old, you know, just a little guy. So he looked down, he looked up at the big American and said, "Bread, sir?" And he was a little better boy, Lucato said. And there was always the little better boys in the streets of Brazil. There's always better boys in the streets of Brazil asking for bread. But there was something so compelling about this little boy that he says, "I just couldn't turn away." He says, "I can't help them all, but there was just something compelling about this one that I could not turn him away." So taking his hand, I said, "Come with me." And I took him to a coffee shop. Max told the owner, "I'll have a cup of coffee and give the boy a piece of pastry, whatever he wants." Since the coffee counter was at the other end of the store, Max walked on and got a cup of coffee, forgetting about the little boy, because what generally better boys do when they get the piece of bread, they're gone on to the next one. You know, think about it. So here's the counter. The pastry part is down here. Coffee part is down there. He got the boy the bread. He went to get his cup of coffee and figured that was the last he was going to see of the little boy, because he was going to be on doing the next thing. But something was different. After he got his pastry, he went over to the big American and just stood there until Locato felt like somebody is kind of staring at him. You ever get that feeling like feel like somebody's staring at you? Mm-hmm. So Locato said, "I turned and looked at him. Standing up, his eyes came to about my belt buckle," so he was about this tall. And he looked up and he said, "Thank you, sir. Thank you very much." Lucato said, "I was so touched by the boy's thanks that I would have bought him the entire store. I sat there for 30 minutes late for my class, just thinking about a little beggar boy who came back to simply say thank you for a piece of bread." So what about you? How do we respond? How do you respond to love and mercy of Jesus? Mm-hmm. Do you just take it for granted? Sometimes just forget about it? Or do you accept it as God's invitation to draw near and give thanks? That is the invitation of Thanksgiving. But how about the motivation of Thanksgiving? How about the motivation? What motivated the psalmist to enter in and give thanks and praise? What motivated him to shout praises to the Lord? You know what it was? It was God's character and God's conduct. That's what it was. It wasn't that God had given him so many things. It was simply God's nature. His love and faithfulness through the years. As I said, notice what it wasn't. His motivation wasn't something material. It wasn't anything concrete that he could touch or feel or eat or drive or put on. It wasn't any of those things. It was something abstract. He was motivated by God's nature. He was motivated to praise and give thanks because of God's nature. See, verse 5 says this, "For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." His motivation for giving thanks and praising the Lord was because the Lord's nature of enduring love and faithfulness and knowing that it would continue. What is it that motivates us to give thanks today? Something to think about as we go into this Thanksgiving week. What does Thanksgiving really mean to you? The roots of Thanksgiving go back so much further than when it became a holiday in 1941. We know that. If you went to school and had any kind of history classes, you know that it's far more than 1941 when it actually became an official holiday. I said we were going to get into some history, so here we go. The very first recorded Thanksgiving in North America was celebrated in 1621. I hope I'm right. When the Plymouth colonists and the Native Americans shared an autumn meal or harvest feast together. That was the very first Thanksgiving. So there were a lot of Thanksgiving before it became an official holiday. Maybe you've heard that story, and you probably have, but maybe you've not heard the background of that story. I'll get through it quickly. And it was in 1605 when a Native American named Squanto from the village of, I will not get this right, so forgive me, Patuxent, Massachusetts, met his first white man. He later traveled to England with an explorer named John Weymouth. In England, he experienced many adventures and was able to learn some English. He returned to America in 1603, basically 3 years later. On his return to America, he was kidnapped by an Englishman, Thomas Hunt, who was one of John Smith's lieutenants. He was taken from Massachusetts, along with other Native Americans, by an English ship captain and sold into slavery in Spain. Okay, bear with me here. Anything, any of this that you hadn't heard before? There Squanto was, bought by a Spanish monk who treated him well, freed him from slavery, and taught him the Christian faith. He ended up in a good situation, I would say. Squanto eventually made his way to England, where he improved his English and worked in the stables of a man named John Slaney. Slaney sympathized with Squanto's desire to return home, and eventually he was able to send him back to America. It wasn't until, however, 1618, 10 years after Squanto was first kidnapped, that he was on the ship returning to America a free man, 10 years later. When he arrived home, he learned of the second blow delivered by the English. His tribe had died from an epidemic, probably something like smallpox, brought by the earlier colonists. His entire tribe wiped out because of an epidemic that the colonists brought, wiped out his tribe. He and another Native American, Samoset, went to live with neighboring tribe near Plymouth, Massachusetts. It was there that he was introduced to the new Pilgrim settlers. Now here's where it really gets interesting. And there, Squanto became the picture of forgiveness. He had been captured by the English, bought and sold into slavery. His entire tribe had been wiped out by the English. Instead of being bitter, he chose to help the 47 of 102 pilgrims who had barely survived the first harsh winter. He chose to help. He chose to help them instead. He helped them build warm houses. He taught them when to plant their crop and how it should be planted. Without his help, there would have not been 20 acres of corn produced that year. Most certainly. Squanto also advised the pilgrims in their relations with the other Native American. He helped them make friends. He acted as an interpreter, guided them on trading expeditions, and gave advice on bargaining. Here is someone who had every reason to be bitter, to be angry, to be unforgiving, to have an unforgiving spirit, and he chose the opposite. The pilgrims wouldn't have made it through the year without the wisdom and guidance of Squanto. Governor William Bradford in Bradford's History of the English Settlement wrote this regarding Squanto's death. Squanto fell ill of Indian fever, bleeding much from the nose, which the Native American take as a symptom of death, and within a few days he died. He begged the governor to pray for him that he might go to the Englishman's God in heaven. He bequeathed several of his things to his English friends as remembrances. His death was a great loss. There would have been no first Thanksgiving without Squanto, who made a choice to forgive out of the forgiveness that he had received in Christ. He knew that he had received forgiveness in Christ, and out of that forgiveness, he chose to forgive.
Yes.
That thanksgiving flowed out of the thankfulness of one man's heart. Through trials and difficult situations, he had prepared to be a blessing. He had decided in his heart to be a blessing. He had decided in his heart to have a spirit of thanksgiving. You know what that's like? You understand what that's like? What do you have to be thankful for today? Now, this is pretty ironic because I did not know about the blessing the church received until this morning. And I obviously had the sermon written long before that. How has God's great love and faithfulness been seen in your own life this past year? We can't argue God's faithfulness to Gregory Community Church over the last 11 years. Since I've been here, I can't speak before that, but I can certainly speak to his faithfulness since then for the last 11 years. Evidence of his faithfulness continually surrounds us. Does it not?
Yes.
It sure does.
Thank you, God.
The invitation of thanksgiving, the motivation of thanksgiving, and then the celebration of thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 1 says this, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." And verse 3, "Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture." So how do we respond to God's love and faithfulness? Notice in those three verses, there are three verbs that are used in thanksgiving. Forgive me for saying this one. The first one is shout.
Yes.
Shout to the Lord. But I got to be honest, when we sing our praise songs in the morning, sometimes your lips are barely moving. And the psalmist says, shout to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord.
Yes.
There are so many different reasons to give thanks. So many different reasons to give thanks. Listen to these words that were written in 1621 by Edward Winslow, one of the 50 or so members of the Plymouth colony that survived that first wind. He wrote these words describing the first harvest festival. "Our harvest of corn came in well," he said, "and God be praised.
Praise
we God. Had a good increase of Indian corn, and our barley crop was also good, but our crop of peas weren't worth the gathering. They were sown too late, and although they came up very well and blossomed, the sun parched them in the blossoming. Once the harvest was brought in, our governor sent 4 men out to hunt fowl in order that we might have a special celebration, rejoicing together over the fruit of our labors. Those 4 hunters in one day killed enough fowl to feed our company for almost a week.
Praise God.
We were joined in celebration by many Indians. The great Indian king, Massasoit," probably destroyed that name as well, "along with some 90 Indian men, joined us for 3 days of entertainment and feasting. The Indians themselves went out and killed 5 deer," which happens to be 5 more than I've got this season. And I'm not there. "They killed 5 deer that they brought to the plantations and gave as gifts to the governor and to our captain and others. And although our harvests are not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the Ready for this? This is what he wrote. But yet by the goodness of God, we are far from want. That what we often wish that we could not be partakers of our plenty. Listen to that phrase again. By the goodness of God, we are far from want. Those are some profound words.
Mm-hmm.
And what a beautiful reminder this morning. By the goodness of God, so far from want. Is that your testimony? Is that my testimony, that by the goodness of God that I am so far from want? I mean, if I'm being honest, there are times that I want more. And I think if you're being honest, there are probably times that you wish you had more. But also, if I'm being honest, when I look at my life, by the goodness of God, there isn't really anything more that I need. And you can probably say the very same thing. So how do you respond to God's faithfulness? How do we respond to God's faithfulness? You sit down and you think about all the ways that God has blessed you. How long would that take? How long would that take? A lifetime. To sit down and think about all that God has done. You put into words that God has done in your hearts. Then you shout it out. And you declare it to others. Or do we do that? Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should do it right now. Maybe we should stand up and shout and say one thing that you are thankful for today.
Mm-hmm.
The second is worship in those three verses. We come passionately expressing our hearts in response to God's goodness. When we think of all that God has done for us, there should be this natural response of worship. During our closing song, in just a couple of minutes, sing it as an act of worship, flowing from a thankful heart. Romans 12:1 says this, "Therefore I urge you, brother, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." The key word here is offer. Worship is all about offering ourselves, our being, our hearts, our soul, our mind, our body to God. Why do we worship? It says here that we offer ourselves to God in view of God's mercy. We worship because of God's mercy. Worship is our response to God's love. Listen, God made the first move. God made the first move, and it's up to us to respond. What does it mean when we say that offering ourselves is our spiritual act of worship? What does that mean? The word in the NIV for spiritual is logikos, which means reasonable, and where the word logical comes from. In other words, worship makes sense. Worship is a logical and appropriate response to the love of God. That's what worship is. It's a logical response to the love of God. We worship because that is what grateful, awestruck people ought to do.
Yes.
When you are awestruck by the faithfulness and the goodness of God, a natural response is worship. And then the third is to know. He says to know. That means that we experience God's goodness in our lives in a personal way. The word for know in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word for yad. And it means more than just an intellectual understanding. It's the same word that is used in Genesis 4 to say that Adam knew Eve, his wife. It means to have this first-hand encounter. To have this first-hand encounter. Do you truly know that the Lord is God?
Yes.
Do you truly know that the Lord is God? That God has made you. And that you are His. And that you are one of the sheep of His pasture. Take time to experience God's goodness in a whole new, fresh way this week. There's a lot of things that we as a church can be thankful for as we look at where the Lord has led us. Much to be thankful for. However, this Thanksgiving, I would like us to focus not just on where we have come, but where we are going. God's been faithful for almost 186-ish years, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. God has been faithful to Gregory Community Church for 186 years. I have no reason to believe that he's not going to be faithful for the foreseeable future to Gregory Community Church. He's proven that time and time again, and he proved it again this week.
Yes. Praise God.
So where are we going? In the coming year, is there a ministry that God has laid upon your heart? Is there an area that God is asking you to get involved with? Tonight we're hosting an event. And although it may not seem like a churchy event, it's an opportunity to support something that will change someone's life, which will in turn change the lives that person has an influence over. It's like a snowball effect. Maybe like Squanto, God has been preparing you to help a certain group of people, I don't know. Out of the overflow of what you have received in Christ, perhaps you are beginning to understand that you have been blessed so that you can be a blessing to other people. We have been blessed so that we can be a blessing to other people. So on Thursday is Thanksgiving. I don't have to tell you to celebrate. You're going to celebrate. You're probably going to have a feast. You might have it with extended family, or you may just have it with your own family. You might eat a turkey. You probably will eat turkey if that's what you enjoy.
Yes, sir.
Some people have prime rib, I guess. I enjoy prime rib. I'd be okay with that, right? If that's what you enjoy doing, then do it and enjoy it. But most importantly, take time to say thank you, God, for his many blessings. Here's the thing. In 1941, the U.S. government thought it was important enough to give you the day off. The least that we can do is take time and open our hearts and express our gratitude. And then eat. Until you're sick. And watch the lines lose.
You won't be eating venison, though.
Yeah. I won't be eating venison. I still have some left. Very good. Look, I can't tell you how to do that. I can't tell you how to be thankful. I can't tell you how to express your gratitude this week. That's up to you to figure that out. I can't tell you what that looks like. I can't tell you how to do it. But here's what I can tell you. When considering for yourself how to express your gratitude this week, think to yourself this. What's an appropriate response from me to the God of all creation who gave his one and only Son? If you're not sure how to be grateful this week, just start there.
Yes.
So what is an appropriate response for me to an almighty God who gave me his one and only Son so that I may live for eternity? Ask yourself that question, and I think that will give you a really good starting point of how to express your gratitude this week. Let's pray.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, you're a good, good God. You're a good Father. You are a Savior. You are a Deliverer. Transformer. Lord, you've blessed us beyond measure. And Lord, Beyond all of those things, we are most thankful that your love endures forever and your unending faithfulness to us. Lord, we'd be lying if we said that we aren't thankful for the things that we have, the cars that we drive, and all those things we are. But Lord, I hope that the outflow of gratefulness from our hearts comes more out of a position and toward a God that we appreciate for his faithfulness and for his love. And Lord, I pray that that faithfulness and that thanksgiving becomes evident to those around us. Lord, please do not let us be that person that wakes up tomorrow morning and chooses to just not be happy. Lord, may we wake in the morning and choose to be the one that says, no matter what thy day may bring, I will choose to be thankful. Because no matter what we wake up to tomorrow, your love and your faithfulness will still be the same as they are today. And that gives us something to be thankful for. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Dan, I got to give riddle. I'm sorry.
Amen and amen.
Yeah, okay.
Please stand if you are able.
Okay.
Let's just close worship singing Thank You, Lord.